Hello, and welcome to episode
54
of Major Revisions. With me, as always, is Jeff Atkins from Virginia Commonwealth University and John Walter from the University of Virginia. How are y'all doing tonight?
Living the dream.
Doing great. It snowed here today. We have winter.
Wait,
we're recording this in mid-February, I should say.
I would like to know, how much snow did you get today?
That doesn't matter, all right? Because, like, you know, like, it's not like a competition between us and the Midwest, right? We got snow.
It's difficult to know because it rained for longer than it snowed today, so... Right.
Yeah, it's like, how do you really measure it, you know? Like, scientists don't know. Like, there's disagreement on both sides of this issue of how you actually really can measure quote-unquote snow, right? It was 3 inches.
All right, which it can be somewhat apocalyptic for Charlottesville and Central Virginia. I will give you that.
How much snow do you have, Grace?
So today we got 8 inches. That is on top of the well over 30 inches, I'm pretty sure, we've gotten in the past 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we are now currently, we have had the most snow that Ames has ever had in a 30-day period in the past 100-some-odd years. So we're pretty much at the point now. Our house has this long, long driveway, and then it's butts up against another house with our garage. The long story short is we have run out of places to put the snow, and we have resorted to putting the snow into a sled and then transporting it to another part of our yard to dump it. That's where we're at.
Have you given any thought to, like, an ice hotel that you could then Airbnb?
Yeah, that is a great idea.
Extra income.
Except, not shockingly, I have decided to go to Puerto Rico instead. And I'm just leaving on Saturday.
There you go. Well, it's going to be 62 degrees and sunny here tomorrow.
Jeez.
We get the climate ratchet effect here pretty.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, so I got a message from a friend of the podcast recently who pointed out that there's this new paper out, Constraint-Based Simulation of Multiple Interactive Elemental Cycles in Biogeochemical Systems. It's in Ecological Informatics. It seems like a really cool paper, and like it's this model that is going to provide some new methods or insights into being able to look at coupled biogeochemical cycles. But there's an interesting component. The name of the model is an acronym, and the way that one would pronounce this acronym is GANGSTA. And I don't know, what are y'all's first impressions of that?
So they didn't, to their credit, every word, like every letter in the acronym is the first letter of a word, so they didn't stretch it to make this word. Right? So it is generalized algorithm for nutrient growth, stoichiometric and thermodynamic analysis. But that said, I think this it exists in a gray area enough that it should probably be avoided. I can see how this would be interpreted in a negative fashion, and I would probably tend towards maybe we should come up with a different name for it. And that said, I'm very pro acronym and pro naming stuff. I love naming projects and using acronyms. It reminds me of like being a teenager or early 20 something and playing in bands. And when you start a new band, the most fun thing is to like hang out and try to name your stupid band. So it's like, it's nostalgic for me, and I'm a very anti-nostalgic person. So that's why it must be very nostalgic for me to like really like it. You know, like the project that I'm associated with now, the Forte project. God, we hiked for miles and miles and hours in the woods debating what we would call the project. So I am pro-naming, but this isn't a gray area for me that I would be uncomfortable with. What do y'all think?
So, I mean, I'm personally, like, I'm alright with naming things, but I'm not a big proponent of, like, using these really long acronyms for stuff. I just, like, I don't know. I want my names to have something to do with what is actually going on in the project, not just be a unrelated word that presumably whomever did this project thinks is cool.
I guess I would be interested. What the model's doing itself seems pretty cool, and I'm excited to dig into that. But I would be interested in speaking to the authors and just point blank asking them, so why did you go with that acronym? Why Gangsta? And I'm guessing in those instances in my life, I've identified that those awkward silences and those not being able to articulate why is a good sign that it's not the right move. Wasn't the right move. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great look. Mm-mm. And there's some really, really cool people on this paper, too, and it's kind of unexpected. That said, I don't think this is not great, but it's not, like, to the level for me of, like, the really bad puns in the titles that are offensive.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, like, below that. It's not as, like, as bad as the Make Science Great Again or any goddamn reference to Size Matters at this point.
Oh my gosh, that needs to die.
So, I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah,
who said absolutely. Make Science Great Again?
That's come up, man. Like, if you go to some of these things, like, not like Make Science Great Again, but it'll be like, I mean, I don't want to pick on any one given field, right? But so maybe it'll say, like, Make Forest Ecology Great Again, colon, some subtitle of the actual study. But, like, you see this sometimes, and it's...
Really?
It's a little bit of, like, it's an undeveloped juvenile sense of humor that is just, you can do better than that. Like, I'm all for, like, clever titles, but there's, like, clever, and then there's just, like, insipid, too. Right? Like, do y'all listen to, like, a lot of stand-up, or ever watch a lot of stand-up? Mm-hmm. Okay, so, like, you know how there's, like, just very distinct different styles amongst people. And so, like, there are comedians, I think Bill Burr is a good example of someone who, when he does stand-up, he does things very edgy. And it's fairly controversial, but he does it in this way that you know that the joke is always on him, and he's never, like, putting down the audience or putting down anyone's intelligence. Even that said, like, he's one of these people who's, like, very cutthroat with, like, hecklers. But, like, the comedy, though at some points can be rather racy, right? Like, it's clever and it's delivery enough where you kind of always know where he is. And then I think there are other people who are just, like, offensive and, like, just, it's not funny.
Oh, definitely. So,
yeah, and so, like, I think this, you know, like, those titles, like, those bad titles fall more into that, like, they're not that funny, and they're just kind of, it's just, like, you're not trying hard enough. Like, if you want to be clever, that's fine, you can be funny, but, like, you know, don't do that. Don't rely on, like, simple, easy tropes like that. That are just, like, offensive. Like, they mean something more than what you think they mean. And what you're trying to get, like, it's not like, ha 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 ha. No, it is offensive to this. And you know, this, you know, the gangsta thing, like, falls into a category where, you know, like, you could be marginalizing groups here.
Yeah.
Unintentionally. And that's, we can do better.
Yeah, and I think it takes a minute to stop and think about who's in the room and who your audience is. And thank goodness, in ecology, the identity of that audience has changed so much and just continues to morph into this awesome thing. But our sense of humor and our norms in our community need to change along with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I guess, I mean, if I didn't
caveat that. But does it make it okay?
Yeah, I don't think this was intentionally meant to be, you know, that, like, negative. I think it was just like, oh, it's clever that we got this together. I mean, it's, you know, and made the thing, but it was unintentional.
Right.
But is there any project or acronyms or model acronyms that you all like? Okay.
I don't know.
There was a really good one from some atmospheric work at the Owens Valley called the Terrain Relief Experiment. I think that's what the R was. But it was T-Rex. And I like that one.
That is pretty cool.
I think you can make it work. I don't know.
I feel like I just don't know enough. Well, I don't know enough of them. I don't know.
So when you're working with, like, these you know, like models and projects that have these like super long names, like what the hell else is the alternative though?
Oh, true.
I guess I've never really worked on a project that has a name.
We should come up with a really snazzy name for the Synchrony project then. John.
All right.
The ATS, Aquatic Terrestrial Synchrony. I don't know.
Yeah, that one. Mm.
Yeah, see, this is not my forte. I have a deep appreciation for the people who can do this and have this as a skill. It's not one of mine.
Likewise.
So I like that there's some that have become so established that I'm not sure if people even remember what they stand for anymore. Because I was looking at like the P-Flotran model, and I was trying to think, like, I don't know what it means. I've worked with the magic model. I don't remember what magic stands for. Like, it's just become that. Like, biome BGC is pretty easy. It's biome biogeochemistry, right? Like, it's pretty easy, but...
Oh, yeah, I bet, like, Stella probably stands for something.
Oh, yeah, they all stand for something.
It just, like, didn't even occur to me.
Yeah, like, I think some of these have become so, like, ingrained and stuff. Like, it's just part of what it is, right?
Yeah.
The, oh, God, what's the, I mean, and I think there are really clever ones, too. Like, the, I'm trying to think of what it is. No, I thought the Hubbard Ice Storm experiment was ICE, but I think it's ISE, which is literally just Ice Storm experiment, so maybe that's not as clever as the Hurricane. But y'all, we're here for one real reason.
That's right.
The episode that you listened to before this had a brilliant interview with Mark and Patrice, members of the March Mammal Madness street team. Probably not street team. They're part of the real team, like the team that makes it happen. But this is our March Mammal Revisions podcast kickoff. Because we got access to this beforehand, and so we have a recording ahead of time, our brackets, and who we think is going to win. And then following our discussion of this, because there's some juicy, juicy stuff in here, we have a special announcement for you. But, y'all... first take home, this, yeah. The 90s music theme, brilliant.
I'm all about it.
Indeed.
But Grace, what's the first thing that stuck out to you when you got a hold of all the animals on this juicy, juicy? Oh,
yep. Okay. So first of all, really, overall, love the brackets this year. Loving that pretty much all the animals are like extant. But something that caught my eye that I'm a little salty about is that there's a lot of attention and effort put into the species of in many of the other brackets, but particularly in the tag team bracket, there's things like crab and sea turtle. Okay, there are 7 species of sea turtles. There are how many species of crabs? I don't even know. So it's really hard to be comparing something like a fork-tailed drongos to sea turtle. I don't know what sea turtle you're talking about.
I think there might be multiple families of crabs.
Right? Okay, thank you. And fire coral and algae. Just calling it algae. Just algae? Like, what? 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 So, you want to know what? Happy to serve as a consultant next year if you'd like to go into some more of this aquatic stuff, because what the hell?
They just stare at the ocean, maybe, and like, no one will know the secrets of the briny deep.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
all right, let this be a mystery.
Bread goes in, toast comes out. How does it work? Nobody knows.
Fucking magnets, man.
That being said, I think they're really cool picks, and I like seeing sea turtles and things like algae represented, and I probably have them going deeper than they should, but that's because I have reasons, which we will get to. How about you all? What were some of your initial takeaways?
Yeah, John, what was the first thing that blew your mind when you saw this?
That there are non-animals in March Mammal Madness? Like, it's not even enough that there are non-mammals. There are non-animals.
There are a few. That was actually mine too, and I pointed this out when we were talking to Mark and Patrice in the other episode, is like, there is one plant. I mean, there are some plants in here, but there is one plant by itself. And, you know, you think of this, you could go with like a fearsome plant, right? Like maybe like a locust tree. It has big spikes on it. You could go with like a kudzu, right? Kudzu could just pervasive, grows a lot.
It can grow, you could just wrap grow a bamboos, meter in a day.
Right. You could go with bamboo. Freaking bamboo, man. That's crazy. Unless a panda runs into it, that stop anything. Greenbrier, any of these crazy things. Garlic mustard, even if you want to go with like its ability to spread. They went with a dandelion.
But is that not an ocean dandelion?
It just says dandelion.
What's an ocean dandelion? Fill me in.
Yeah, what the fuck is that?
It's a siphonophore, so it's related to like Portuguese manowar.
Oh.
And they're really cool because they're colonial, but unlike being like ants in an ant colony, they actually like, they share tissues among the colony. So they have like a shared stomach. So there's some members of the colony that are feeding, some that are reproducing, some that are doing other tasks like protection. And they share tissues so they can share all of the benefits of those things. It's really cool. They're deep sea organisms. But you're right. That's probably not what they meant. But they are animals. But
no, this is just a little yellow flower.
Well, also, there is another plant on here.
Yeah, it's in the mutualism category, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There is the pitcher plant.
Well, and the aardvark cucumber. Don't forget the aardvark cucumber.
Good point. Oh.
I marked that to go look that up. What is that?
The aardvark cucumber?
Yeah.
All right, so this is like it's a cucumber that grows underground, and aardvarks eat them. They like root them up and eat them and spread their seeds around, so it's like an aardvark plant mutualism. But the aardvark cucumber is like the only plant material that aardvarks eat. And some people think that it's the reason that aardvarks still have teeth for chewing stuff, because like mostly they eat insects, ants, and stuff like that, which apparently you don't need like big chompers for.
Hmm. Okay. I learned something. Let's go through this, because I think we buried the lead here. And at this point, everyone's already looked at this and they know this. There is a tag team category, or cluster, right? Where I guess usually the east bracket would be if this is NCAA, in the upper right. So in this category, these are mutualisms. So these are tag team partners. So the number one seed in this is the zebra and the oxpecker. And then, you know, like John said, there's the aardvark coupled with the aardvark cucumber, which I imagine it digs up and carries the cucumber into battle. Then there's the Geldes monkey, saddleback tamarin, and upper or white-lipped tamarin. So I guess that's a three-monkey combo for that one?
I believe they travel in packs, mixed species packs.
And my favorite, and this is what I learned this today too, coyote and badger. Apparently these boys like get together and hunt in fields together, and they'll sweep the field and give each other space to hunt for small mammals.
What?
It's wild.
Like I think it was caveated with like there's some evidence. But yeah, so we, you know, going through this crab and sea turtle, which sound like they taste delicious together. I don't know.
There's actually a pretty cool mutualism there, if you want to hear about it.
Do tell.
Okay, come so on. I can't tell. Hey, Robert. Will you come tell us about the crab sea turtle mutualism, please? I'm calling in my sea turtle expert.
It's friend of the podcast, Bob.
Exactly. Are you willing to come talk about loggerhead sea turtles and their awesome crabby friends?
Come on.
Okay, so what is the mutualism between crabs and sea turtles?
Am I just talking? Yeah. So a former lab mate of mine actually did his whole dissertation on this mutualism, which turns out to be pretty cool. So there are a genus of ocean-dwelling crabs called Planese crabs, just spelled like planes, and they are oceanic drifters, and they spend most of their entire lives rafting on the backs of sea turtles, and so that's how they traverse the oceans around the world. And so that is a mutualism that they've got built up with the sea turtles, and then they find their mates on the backs of sea turtles and hang out with them for their whole lives.
On their butts.
in a space underneath their shell above their butt.
Yeah. On their butts.
Yeah.
The original crabs. What?
Oh, that did definitely not make science great again. Wait, so was that in Finding Nemo? Because I just remember the turtles, you surf on them.
Yeah, was that in Finding Nemo?
No, I that's don't believe
the...
so.
No.
That's where all of my aquatic knowledge comes from.
That's fair. Well, and that they are up against the clownfish and the sea anemone. So, sort of a Nemo-esque pairing there.
Yeah.
So here's my take on the fire coral and algae, which is also in this.
Okay.
I guess I wasn't really thinking about it in terms of a mutualism, but like fire coral hurts like hell. And I think you can get infections and things from it. There are plenty of algae that are toxic. And toxic to mammals and humans. And so by just saying algae, one doesn't really know what you're talking about. So I'm going to assume a toxic algae, and we'll go from there.
I'm going to assume a non-toxic algae because it's a 13 seed.
I'm going to assume it doesn't matter because the next round they're playing the mongoose and the warthog, which means the fire coral and the algae are going to be in a desert habitat or a semi-arid habitat, and it doesn't matter.
Unless they're... Wait, do they always play to the higher seed?
Yeah.
Higher seed gets home field advantage.
Oh, guys, I've got some things to change. I don't understand how sports work. Seriously, what? Oh, okay. Good job. Keep talking.
That's, okay, well, let's stop and get a ruling on that.
All right, so probably the fire coral and algae symbiotically, they're talking about the algae that actually lives inside the fire coral.
That makes sense.
Fine. Just, you know, FYI, everything else was speciated.
I'm just going to go with that they get home footage.
Okay. Good. Well, that's probably explains why I've never been able to do well on March Madness or March Madness.
I pick on cuteness, so it's all good.
Okay.
Okay. So who do you all have coming out of this division?
The tag team?
Yeah, the tag team.
Coyote and Badger.
Yeah, now I have Coyote and Badger.
I think it's going to come down to them and Crab versus Sea Turtle. And I think that's going to be an interesting matchup, but we'll see.
Well, but it's going to be on land, right? So.
Yeah, but crabs can go on land.
So can sea turtles.
Sea turtle, like, throw it up there with his flipper and it'll pinch. Coyote and Badger will take him down. All right, so below that.
Until the tide comes in. What?
So in the category to the lower right, the cat-agory. So these are all animals with cat-related names, but who are not actually cats. What do y'all like in this category here? Like, what's some take-home marquee matchups you're looking forward to? Whew.
My pick out of this one, the tiger owl, also known as the great horned owl.
What?
Dude, Secretary Bird did me good last year. I'm all about... I am all about the angry looking birds.
Okay. No, I'm good. We know about your owls.
But against a fisher, fishers are so vicious and they climb trees and do all the terrible things.
Yeah, I thought about that, but I have the tiger owl beating the fisher cat too.
Yeah, but tiger owls are fierce too.
But I have it getting eaten by the sea lion.
Oh, I got it beating the sea lion just because I like it better.
Excellent scientific opinion there. Now the Nimravia is basically a saber-toothed cat, though.
Yes, this is the extinct false saber-toothed cat, right?
Yeah, that sounds... Okay. That sounds,
yeah, I've also got Tiger Owl triumphing on there.
I feel like the Tiger Owl is somewhat of a gape-limited predator.
Now, there is the potential that the Namrivia has really bad allergies and just, like, sniffs the dandelion, and it's, like, an upset, just like that one basketball game that we're not going to talk about from last year.
Too soon.
Wait, it's always going to be too soon.
I agree that Nimruvia is going to win, but I choose to see it as an ocean dandelion to keep with the animal theme. It's still going to win, but...
So, okay, so John, you have the tiger owl coming out. I have the sea lion. Grace, who do you have coming out of its bracket?
I have the bear cat coming out.
Oh, that's a pretty good choice, too.
They seem very vicious. It was between bear cat and Fisher, and I had the bear cat winning that one. I just, Fishers deeply terrify me. They are extremely nasty.
Grace, who did you have coming out of the first one?
I think I said coyote and badger, right?
Okay, so we're all on that one. Okay.
Yeah.
And I had the sea lion. All right, so this is our... All right, I guess moving along here to our TLC-themed Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls bracket. So this one, there's some interesting stuff in this one here. We have a marine otter going against an aquatic gennet. A manatee versus a ring-tailed something that's not a lemur.
A Monstera, I think.
What's that?
The ring-tailed Monstera is something I Googled previously and then closed the window.
It's a lemur, isn't it? Or a bandicoot?
It's lemur-esque. It is a mongoose. It is carnivorous.
Just remember how you feel when you are reading or reading about the algae is how literally every person who studied animals feels right now.
Yeah.
And for the rest of, but we're like, oh, it's like a lemur monkey thing, right? Like,
fair point.
It's got a,
I don't know,
tail, something. I mean, at least you and John are coming with the facts about like the cucumbers and the other stuff. I'm just like, it's like a monkey, man. Just go,
yeah. So I loved that the lowland tapir was on here too.
Yeah, that boy's getting eaten.
What? By who?
A tapir?
By the manatee. Totally the manatee.
The crab-eating fox.
The tapir's so much bigger than the crab-eating fox.
They're huge and majestic and wonderful.
And they look...
A tapir is huge and majestic.
Got big chompers.
Okay. Yeah.
A tapir.
And man, they can move. I have like chased one through the rainforest before, and
because it they're scared, like they're scared of everything. They're like little jungle.
Fear is healthy,
but you lose the battle when you run away.
Okay.
It's gonna see the crab eating fox and his little like scrunched up little nose here. Yeah, I googled it, and it's gonna be run away.
Dude, the crab eating fox is like 15 pounds. The tapir is like big.
Yeah, I think the tapir just steps on it.
No. I hard disagree. All right, fine. And it doesn't matter. Okay. What's a Racali? I looked this up. It's like a rat thing.
Yeah, it's like an Australian water rat.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what it is badass because it kills cane toads and it doesn't die.
Oh,
what?
Yeah. It doesn't get poisoned somehow, Wikipedia has told me.
I didn't.
So I'm in awe. I didn't know that. Of the Racali.
See, that's why I have it beating another silly looking jungle pig. Which is what a tapir is, a silly little jungle pig. Don't at me. And the peccary, again, losing to the little rat thing.
Yeah.
And then the beaver, I got the beaver going over the mink.
What?
Beaver's over mink.
It's good. Minks are so nasty.
Beavers got big chompers.
They're stout.
But they just slap their tails and run away.
Are you kidding?
Look at those front teeth.
Beavers slap them with the tail and they go rawr, 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 with the front teeth.
What?
That's a scientific term.
I don't know. I think the minks are wily and scary. I if you're noticing a theme like Fisher, mink, I have a fear of like small aquatic mammals, freshwater mammals. They are nasty.
That are like much longer than they seem like their llama tree should
be. Yeah, anything that looks like a weasel, hard pass.
Okay, full disclosure, I have beaver coming out of this.
I got moose.
I have moose as well.
It's got bigger horns.
I had the beater beating the moose. No, the moose are fearsome, but here's my thought, right? So beaver defends its territory. It takes down whole trees. And so, like, a moose and a beaver is going to be in the same habitat. Like, it's going to be in the swamp.
And in fact, I have... I think
beaver is going to be... Is going to come out of this. I think it's going to beat the marine otter, which I also think is a really fearsome animal. But I think it's going to win. Who do y'all have coming out?
Moose. Man.
Both moose?
I like it.
I don't feel great about my pick, but...
I don't know. I feel like every time I've encountered a moose in the wild, I'm like, there's an animal the size of a shed. And it can kill me.
There's that.
Yeah. Moose is real big. It's... Not... Yeah.
Did they bore you, Jeff?
No, I haven't slept a lot lately.
Oh, no.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, they're not as boring. I mean, beavers are way more exciting.
What All about right. if it was, like, the giant beavers from the Pleistocene? Then I would be on board.
It's not the size of the fight. It's not the size of the beaver in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the beaver. That's my take-home message from this tournament.
I don't know.
Fine. Agree to disagree.
Okay.
All right, the jump section. I'm not... Okay, I guess these animals all jump.
Yes, I guess.
Leading off with our number one seed is the Bengal tiger versus a ringtail cat, which I guess is a lemur-cat hybrid
species. I believe it feels like the ringtail cat is an amuse-bouche to the Bengal tiger.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Jay.
Okay, like...
Okay. So we got two bunnies going against each other next. That are indistinguishable from each other, to me. The spring hare versus the jackrabbit.
Yeah, that was hard.
I like the spring hare's name better.
That's what I went with. It's getting eaten by a Bengal tiger next round.
True story.
Yeah, I picked the jackrabbit just because, but you're right, it's getting eaten by the Bengal tiger, so next. Thank you, next.
Serval versus rock wallaby. I had the serval on that one.
I had serval. It looks like it's something that would eat a wallaby.
Wallaby, can you eat wallaby?
I've never tried.
I've eaten kangaroo, and so I assume you can eat wallaby. Somebody email me if they know where I can get some wallaby. Baharal? I looked this up earlier. Now I forgot what it was.
Yeah, so is it like an ungulate? It runs away. I have a note. They run away.
Oh, well then.
From everything. That's their move. They hold still until they can't be seen. Seen, they run away until they can't be seen.
Okay, this is the Himalayan blue sheep. Okay, but no, this is my concern here. But maybe it's not because of the home field advantage thing. Like if the home field advantage is like a Himalayan mountainside. But then a stoat is pretty well adaptable, right?
And vicious and weasel-like.
Yeah, the stoat is always well-loved. They're not going to put the stoat out first round.
Yeah. I pick stoat, but falling to this. Yeah.
What about Impala versus Clipspringer?
I got him.
Well, a car is always going to beat a small ungulate.
There you go. Next, Spinner Dolphin versus a mouse. Do the mouse drowns.
True story.
Yeah.
I guess I need... Alright, so... Sifaka versus armadillo.
I got the armadillo.
How are you?
I did too.
How far do you have the armadillo going?
Not further than
Because next, it's up against the Markhor.
Yeah, and the Markhor has big horns. I have the
armadillo...
Yeah.
I have the armadillo going all the way to the final.
Whoa! Dude...
I'm going with the principle of big horns here. It's the Markhor.
Principle of big horns.
How nice it must be to have your ecological theory already figured out and named in your 30s.
Yeah.
Most people, it takes years to establish like a string of research that builds and ultimately culminates into a groundbreaking... theory, but you've already got principle. Wow,
principle big horns. You heard it here first.
So that's yours. Mine's the size of the fight in the beaver.
Algae. That's all I have to say.
Just algae. But now, given the previous part of the other conversation, I'm a little bit worried about our references to horns and beaver now. This is fine. Okay, so if you don't have the obvious armadillo, which is just going to ball up and like or give leprosy to every other animal.
I forgot about the leprosy thing.
Yeah, it's spinner dolphin, the leprosy's going to get into the water, and the dolphin will get the leprosy, which I don't think is actually even the...
I don't think that's the disease factor.
Yeah, it doesn't go from armadillo to dolphin. I don't know if it's been proven anywhere.
Fair point.
I'm worried about the dolphin armadillo matchup because I don't know how aquatic armadillos are, given that, from my understanding, they live on roads
in Texas, deserts,
in Oklahoma, in Alabama.
I don't think they have much experience with water.
Many on the roadside in Florida.
Okay, so Florida has a lot of water. Let me Google something real quick. Are armadillos aquatic mammals? It seems like science doesn't really know. So this seems to be... It seems like the science...
Gosh, no, it's like our next proposal writes itself.
Okay, fine. Who do y'all have coming out of this then?
Mark Hoare.
Gosh, this was tough. I went with the Bengal tiger. I had it between spinner dolphin and Bengal tiger, and I went with Bengal tiger.
All right. Boring, but whatever.
Dude, I've got...
Unless the spinner dolphin is able to, like, leap out at the Bengal tiger and knock it out and drown it or something. But yeah, I see the Bengal tiger winning this.
Yeah, but that's why it doesn't beat the Mark Hoare.
Yeah, that's a good point. Principle of big horns.
Principle.
So wait, if that's the case, John, you had the Mark Hoare versus the moose. So that's like a horns versus antlers situation. What do you call them, antlers and moose? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I took the Mark Hoare because, though, like, just look at those horns. They're cool looking.
So is it the principle of cool, comma, big horns?
Yes, Jeff.
Or is this the cool horn corollary to the main principle?
Well, I'm going to, you know, just blow your mind with the principle of feathered horns in the next round, so.
Okay. So here we have our final four. John has the coyote and the badger, the tiger owl versus each other, and the moose and the Mark Hoare. Grace, you have the coyote and badger versus the bear cat, and then the moose versus the Bengal tiger. I have the coyote and badger versus the sea lion, and then the beaver versus the armadillo. So, John, who is your final and who is your winner?
Mark Hoare, tiger owl. Tiger owl is the winner.
All right, okay. Grace, what do you got?
I have the Bengal tiger versus the coyote and badger, and I have the Bengal tiger winning.
I have the armadillo versus the coyote and badger, with the coyote and badger winning. So we have no repeats.
Are we playing for jelly beans this year?
No, but that goes... I don't know, but that goes to my announcement that we want to do too. And by the time this episode comes out, we'll have the logistics of this worked out. I've been looking at different Google forms on how to make this easier, but we would like to open up a March Mammal Madness bracket pool. You know, this isn't gambling for jelly beans or money or anything, of course, because that's fine. You do what you want.
But you could lose your NCAA eligibility.
That's true. Don't do that. I still have 6 years of NCAA eligibility I've never cashed in.
I only have one.
That's what retirement's for.
Yeah, I know, right? But so we're going to do one as a podcast, as a group, and the winner of the bracket pool will get to pick an episode concept or idea that we will then record. The caveats, of course, you know, we'll spell out, and but, you know, y'all all seem cool. I don't think you would pick anything that would be bad. You can make us read whatever paper you want, whatever, and we'll do, what do you think, 30 minutes minimum?
Mm-hmm. Have we ever done an episode that short about anything?
I know, but, like, what if they give us, like, a physics paper or something, and then we have to record an episode on it? Like, what are we going to do?
I believe.
Trash physics?
I believe in us.
It's trash physics.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. I mean, we trust y'all. We think you'll come up with something really good. And we'll figure out the logistics of this, and by the time this comes out, that'll be out there. But I would imagine we would probably just follow a standard NCAA scoring system where each subsequent round, the points are maybe double or something. So if you get, like, all your final four correct, like, that would obviously be weighted more than, you know, the first round or whatnot. But we'll figure out all the details of that. But, and then we'll have a deadline. In fact, actually, I'll probably put that in post after this. And so just listen to the end of this episode for the official rules and ideas, which will totally upend anything else that I just said now. So are there any animals that we didn't cover or any of these things that really stuck out to y'all that you wanted to revisit?
No.
Is there any animals that you think could be a dark horse?
I kind of think the Rakali could be.
Hmm. Okay.
This thing. That's a good one. Doesn't die, and it eats cane toads. That just blows my mind. Also, I have this pet theory that everything in Australia wants to kill you. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't think that's a theory.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in the sense, like, evolution is a theory.
Right.
Or the bighorn thing.
it's a principle.
I don't think the Rakali is going to go all the way, but I think it's going to go farther than I said it would. Farther than we all expect.
So I think fire coral and algae. I would not sleep on that.
Okay.
Even if, like, the coral gets out of, like, the water, right? Like, it's coral, so it's still sharp. Like, you wouldn't want to step on it. And I could see that being bad.
And it, perhaps one of those things that even if it doesn't go far, I bet it still plays a role. In that, in one of its battles, it's going to mortally wound something for a later battle.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the tag teams are kind of like dark horses, because that's like an extra layer of interpretation, you know? How are the mutualistic species going to work together?
That is a good point. You know, I feel like I really discounted the moray eel because it was against the fire coral and the algae, but moray eels are also terrifying. Although really stupid, I was once diving and one hid itself behind the, like, railing of a ship, just its head. I'm pretty sure it was working on the principle of, if I can't see you, you can't see me. So, maybe not.
Well, human children work off of that principle for a little while, so.
And they're quite vulnerable, so.
So there was some indication in talking to Mark and Patrice this morning that the Valentines that they printed could be indicative of something. And so that includes the lion-tail macaque, the fisher, the tiger owl, the ringtail something, and the sea lion, and then another animal that's not named, and I don't know, it looks like any one of these small jungle mammals that's brown. White spots. No idea what that is. I'm really bad with animals.
Well, can we just take a moment, though, to appreciate, first of all of the people who put effort into this?
Oh, yeah.
And the creation of Marsh Mammal Madness. This is one of my favorite things every spring. This is awesome, and what a cool thing to have. So...
yeah, absolutely. Like, shout out to Katie Hine and to everyone else involved in this. There's a whole bunch of people, and we'll put links to all of the you know, the websites, and to Mark and Patrice for talking to us earlier. Like, there's a lot of work that goes into this, and, you know, every year, like, you can tell like how much we like it because how like just the 30 minutes of conversation we had where we're like really in depth and like really mad about dandelions and algae. like you can't evoke that level of a visceral response without it being something that's loved and really appreciated. So absolutely. Everything that we say is with love and respect, of course, but dandelions really. So but yeah, so that's what we got. So John, you have the tiger owl. Grace, you have the Bengal tiger, and I have the coyote and badger, and I feel pretty good about all three of those picks, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all did solid.
All winners.
My armadillo one might be a little crazy. You know, pygmy hippo won last year, and I didn't see that coming.
Oh, gosh, I just had a flashback to that. Oh,
I really kind of forgot in the lab.
So, yeah, do you guys have anything else you want to add? We close out.
I hope that I don't lose again this year in our lab pool, because what we bet is the number of bottles that we have to wash in preparation for the field season.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, you said pygmy hippo, and I was just like, oh, I'd forgotten about that. I lost bad last year. You can find us on Twitter at @major_revisions. You can find us on all sorts of your favorite podcast platforms. You can also find us online at our website, majorrevisionspodcast.com. And hey, go check out our Spotify playlist.
Yeah, we're on Instagram, @major_revisions.
Fantastic.
When's the last time we posted something?
Yeah.
We're all doing our best here. It's fine, everybody. It's fine. All right. Cool. Well, thank y'all for listening. Have a great night.
Make sure you enter the Major Revisions March Mammal Madness Challenge. It's a little bit different than the regular bracket. What we do is we have a Google form where you enter and you pick the winner of each matchup for each round, and you get a score for that round. The scores are cumulative. Whoever has the highest score at the end of the entire tournament after all six rounds gets to pick an episode topic, and we have to record it. And the winner of each round is going to get a free sticker. So go check it out. Entries are available on our website, on the show notes for this episode, as well as on our Twitter, which is @major_revisions. The website is majorrevisionsshow.com. Go check it out. Thanks for listening.